Hey guys, welcome to season 9 of Interviews with the Hunting Masters podcast. I want to start off by saying thank you for all the reviews, the comments, and the questions that you guys send in. I do this to help others, and it means a lot to me that you're involved. And also, it helps me keep this podcast free and helps me keep this podcast at the top of the charts. With your help, I've been able to grow this podcast to one of the number one podcasts in big game hunting. I also want to give a big shout out to Sneak Tech Sneak Boots for being the number one sponsor of this podcast and helping me keep it free. So thank you, and let's roll into the next episode. Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. And today we're going to do a little campfire session with one of our own here in Arizona. And it's Elliot Weigel, and he's running a Instagram page that's like specifically for Arizona hunters. You know, everybody's posting their pics up there and stuff like that. It's a nice place to showcase Arizona hunting. So we're in the middle of coos deer season right now. I've been seeing a lot of coos deer pics come across, and as the seasons change, it's kind of neat to see what people are taking in the state. How's it going today?
Pretty good, John. How you doing?
Good, man. Can't complain. Just getting ready to leave for South Dakota here in about a week. So I've got to trying to get in as many podcasts done as I can and get work squared away and everything else, you know, normal BS before you got to leave. So
I hear you, man. Well, I appreciate the invite. Good to be on. So
no, thank you. Thanks for taking the time. So I have you on today for a campfire session, and I don't know how much you've listened to the podcast or not, but on our campfire session, basically I ask you to share with us some stories with us, and hopefully one of them has a teaching moment, and the other one, you know, maybe your favorite hunt or something, the most outrageous hunt that you've ever had. So so let's start with that one, actually. Give us a story about your most outrageous hunt.
You know, that's a good question. You know, I got so many. They're all great, and they're all outrageous in their own way. You know, I was kind of thinking back earlier today about, it was a bear hunt on the San Carlos Apache Reservation. And it's always, you know, it's always fun to get up there and see all the real rich in wildlife. Anyways, I think it was like a 3-week long hunt. It was a fall bear hunt. And I only had weekends to hunt. But I do have some friends that are tribal members up there, and I get to spend time up there with them, you know, occasionally here and there. And, I think it was the final weekend of the hunt, and, we weren't seeing much. The previous weekend. So the final weekend was just, you know, our last ditch effort. And so, turns out my buddy, and his wife and daughter had tags, 'cause it coincides with, tribal deer hunts. And, it was also fall tribal turkey season.
Okay.
So anyways, you know, we started out the morning, glassing around and looking for bears. And, so in the morning we were glassing, and we find some mule deer, and one of them was a pretty decent buck. So my buddy's daughter went out and put a move on him, and bingo, ended up killing him. And so we you know, get him dressed out and throw him in the trucks, and we head out to a new spot where we're going to look for bears. And and I'd be danged if we didn't jump a big group of turkeys crossing the road. It was about midday or so. And, so my friend's wife gets out, boom, turkey on the ground, which is pretty cool. Anyways, you know, we load him in the truck, and, we keep going, and, you know, we weren't seeing much. We kept hunting, you know, picking apart a few different places along the way, and just not much bear activity, at all. Really. So we're starting to head out, Oh, it's a long, long, rough road out. Like 5 miles, 5 miles or so, just some of the ruggedest road you'd ever seen. It's getting dark, and I'm starting to lose hope. And I've almost just about written the hunt off, calling
Right.
it tag soup or whatever. And so we stop to open the gate, really. It's it was a little gate we had to open. And just for the heck of it, I get out and I pull my binos out to look on the ridge side about 200 yards away. And sure enough, big old sow sitting there feeding under an oak tree. And heck, he's shooting range. She's shooting range right there. So I pull my gun, I get set up, and the rest is history. And I just thought that was, man, the sense of accomplishment. At the day's end, we had three animals, different species, in the back of the truck. And
That's crazy.
that was just something really, really special and really cool I was a part of. And obviously I was happy I got my bear. And so,
Nice. That's
anyways,
cool.
yeah.
It's rare to have that kind of a day where you get to experience it all and with friends and whatnot and three different species and all in the same time. That's pretty
Yeah.
cool.
And something that, it goes to show you that you gotta be out there,
Yeah.
you gotta be out there. And sometimes things play out like clockwork and other times not, but you gotta be out there.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was something special. I was thinking about that the other day, and I figured I'd share that. Pretty cool hunt. And there's others. I grew up in the era in the early 2000s, hunting in Arizona, mainly in southern Arizona, like Unit 36A, 36B.
That's my
And
stopping grounds.
oh yeah. And during that time, there was the youth hunt that took place the last 2 weeks of December. Any antler deer, obviously, with a rifle, and that sure makes for a good hunt.
Oh yeah.
The mule deer are really fired up, and I was able to take a couple different what I call above par bucks for the southern Arizona desert. I think one was like 172, and the other one was, oh, maybe a, you know what, I don't, I'm not even sure, he might be closer to 180. But
Oh, nice.
those were always real outstanding hunts, and I really held highly just for that opportunity. Of course, that they did away with that hunt, I think mid 2000s. But anyways, yeah,
Yeah.
that was good times then. So
I remember bow hunting down there and coming in, coming across rifle hunters, and I was like, what the heck? And then I looked into the regs and I was like, oh, it's a junior hunt. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense, because I didn't think they had any, mule deer. I know they have a coos deer hunt in December, coos deer hunt. They've had that forever, but the muleys, I was like, oh man, I wish I could get this tag. And then, nope,
And
nope, too old.
I was fortunate. It was a rather easy tag to draw at during that time. I think I drew it 4 years, three in a row, and then I waited. I had 1 year where I didn't draw, then I drew it again. So,
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of people don't like to go down there and mess with the border and the illegals coming across and the drug runners and all that stuff. And right
oh
around
yeah.
that time too, early 2000s, there was some stuff going on down there. That's like when a lot of the they I mean they were having like a little bit of an insurgence of like the narcos and whatnot moving across, and
Oh yeah.
especially in that in those few units over there. Alder Valley's been, a high
Oh.
traffic zone for years.
For years, yeah. I've seen them myself. I've glassed them up. Mules, drug mules, and any legal, transient moving through. And it's you gotta be cautious. Border Patrol seems like they're doing a little better job. They're abundant down there, but even then, you gotta be cautious. And but it's a special place, and I grew up hunting down there, and I love the lay of the land and the deer, and hopefully we will continue to be able to enjoy it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that's kind of where I started coos deer hunting, was in that area. I mean, I had a couple of friends of mine, Doug and Howard Spicer, that have been hunting down there for, I don't know, 30 plus years. And they introduced me to that area now, geez, a little over 20 years ago. And I've been hunting it ever since. I pretty much, of course I'm giving away my hunting spots a little bit here, but I go down there in January, and it's not because it's like the best hunting, but it's just I'm so used to it and I know the area really well, and there is a good amount of deer down there, of course. But I've gotten accustomed to, I know where the bucks are going to be in December and January. They kind of have like cycles down there, so no, I've had some run-ins myself. I remember one time I went down there by myself, and this is, it's probably going back about 15 years ago. I was sitting up on a ridge and I'm glassing, and all of a sudden I see this low flying plane, and I'm like, what the heck is that? I thought at first, I thought it was Border Patrol, and it dropped something in the desert, big package. And I'm like, oh shit. So I sat there and watched it. I was glassing, for deer or whatever. And I watched it for a while, watched it for a while, watched it for a while, and I didn't see anything. But I was like, you know what? So I kind of dropped down close to it, but I didn't get real close. And I marked it with my GPS. And I was leaving that afternoon, so I left, I don't know, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I went to 3 points. And there's always Border Patrol hanging out over there. And I'm like, hey, listen, I saw him drop a package and da 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 da. Guy took my number, gave him the GPS coordinates, and I guess they went and seized it. And it ended up being like 400 pounds of marijuana. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
You know,
Pretty crazy.
it's funny you mentioned that. I have a different story, but we were in I think we were in the C unit at the time, flashing for a coos deer. And we were kind of all grouped together, the three of us. It was my dad, my sister who had the tag, and we're grouped together just looking, glassing, and we hear a helicopter coming in, and we look around, and we see it in the distance, and it keeps getting closer and closer, and then it ends up circling around us, and it's INS, and it's a Black Hawk helicopter. Well, I'd be damned if they didn't land on the ridge top we were sitting on, and they got out and just they were checking us out, making sure we weren't illegal or any of that, and then they
Unreal.
took off.
That's cool.
Yeah, not something you see every day, or not something that happens to you every day out there, I tell you
No,
that.
no, yeah, no, I've been checked a few times by Border Patrol, and there was military down there too at one point. This is right about when they changed that first mile and a half into the no hunt zone. And I used to hunt right there, like right on the border. Like, I don't know, I used to have a spot. You can't hunt it anymore, but I had a spot over there, a glassing spot, and I loved it. It was just always produced for me. And like there were several times where, again, Humvee come flying down and run right up to us on the ridge and, check us out and stuff like that. But I mean, it's good to see that they're doing that. But now they got all those thermal sensors and stuff up out there. So I haven't been checked in a long time. And I don't know how, if they just got more sophisticated in how to determine whether or not you're a, hunter or an illegal or whatever, but I guess it wouldn't be too hard to pose as a hunter, put some camouflage on and
Oh,
carry a bow in
sure.
your hand. Carry
Oh,
a bow in
sure.
your hand, and they'll probably leave you alone. So, but
There you go.
anyway. So If you could share with us a story about something that had get that was like maybe like an aha moment or something you learned about hunting and maybe changed the way you hunt now because of that situation.
Sure. I'd have to say it was definitely my most memorable hunt and most just awesome adventure, really. I think it was, let's see, maybe I couldn't have been 19 or 20 at the time, so probably 2004, 2005. My dad had booked us a hunt in Alaska. It was a moose hunt. Anyways, that was something I'll never forget. We ended up so we flew into Anchorage and we had a day there to lay over and so we hung out there a day, but when we finally got picked up, to fly from Anchorage to the base camp, or I guess you would call it maybe a lodge, really. So we fly into the lodge and we check our rifles and get ready. The next day, we're going to get dropped off at our spike camp. So we get dropped off, and just along the way, guys say the smaller the plane, the greater the adventure, and there's a lot of truth to that. From Anchorage, we hop on a 6-seater Cessna, which is really cool. I had never experienced anything like that, flying in as low as we were, going through the mountains and everything, and you can look down and see bears and everything, and that was really cool. And then anyways, from the lodge, we get on a little 2-seater Super Cub, and man, was that fun. They can take off in like 80 feet, and their ability to land on a ridge top or something is just pretty impressive. And of course, to get us all to our spike camp, it takes a few trips with all of our gear and everything. So we get to spike camp, get it all set up, and we have an afternoon of glassing to go look for moose. And so we get out there and we find a decent bull right off the bat, actually, which was nice. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to put a move on him, but we knew where he was. And so anyways, the next morning, bingo, we pick him up. He isn't but 400 yards from where we saw him last night. And unfortunately, we couldn't make it happen. We tried to move in on him, and he wasn't super ruddy yet. He wasn't responding to the calls, and he kind of moved off. But anyways, we keep digging and digging. A couple days go by, and then it's like someone turned the on switch on for the rain and the fog.
Oh, geez.
It rained and rained, and then after the rain comes the fog, and we were fogged in pretty bad, real low visibility. And I think for, oh, it was about 2.5 days, we were pretty much confined to camp just because of the low visibility. So we're playing cards in the tent and just passing the time, and just still the whole experience is just something you don't. Just amazing. I'll never forget it. Just the little things like that. Yeah. Living on the, what is it, that Denny Moore canned stew and reindeer sausage and so anyways, the rain gets to clearing out, and we just aren't having any luck. The moose, I don't think we found another legal bull during that entire time. I think we had, what was it, maybe 3 days left of the hunt, and we get a call from one of the pilots on the radio. He had just gone into Anchorage to do a supply run, and apparently he saw a really good bull flying in. So he says, "You guys want to go after him? How you guys doing at camp?" And we had nothing. We had no, nothing was producing nothing. So during the, what was it? So during the second to last day, we pack up camp, and they come pick us up and fly us over to a new location. And So we're scrambling, getting camp set and all that. And of course, in Alaska, you can't fly and hunt the same day.
Right.
So we got dropped at our new spot. We go find the bull, and he's bingo right there. He's kind of isolated on this little island in the middle of the river, and okay. He's got a couple cows with him, and so bingo. I'm thinking this is going to be pretty easy. We'll come back in the morning and hopefully get him killed. Well, we're watching him as the sun's going down, and we hear this kind of high-pitched growling in the distance, and we're looking around, glassing, and what it is it was three bears, two cubs and a mom, and the cubs are fighting over a piece of salmon. And so that they're running around carrying on, and the moose, the cow moose that were with the bull, started hearing this, and they started getting a little spooky, and they ended up crossing the river and back to the bank of the river. And I was like, oh no, please don't tell me. And sure enough, that bull, he wanted his cow. So he followed him along, and they kind of made their way out of there pretty quickly. And so that evening, you know, we were crushed, you know, and
yeah,
we didn't know how well.
Out of the sails.
Yeah. So anyway, sure enough, in the morning we get out there, and we can't find that bull or any bull. And anyway, so that was it for us, you know. What I wanted to touch on about that was when I realized, I believe, or the teaching moment that it's always good to appreciate the adventure rather than, you know, the ending of the hunt. Right. That was my most unsuccessful hunt of my life, and I'll never forget it. And I think, you know, a lot of nowadays, especially with all the social media and everything, mm-hmm. I think we kind of unspokenly get influenced or have the need to, you know, maybe compete a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
And so I just thought that was something that I remind myself of that a lot, you know, and so I just thought that was something cool. And I wanted to share there. It really changed, you know, my outlook on things. I love just being out there, and I love the adventure. And so anyways,
no, that's awesome. Cause you know what, that's actually something I kind of preach all the time. I'm like, especially bow hunting, like, you know, I'm like, if you're in it just for the kill, you're going to be disappointed so much more times than not. I mean, countrywide, again, across all game species, I think bow hunting has like a 22% success rate or something like that, 25. Uh-huh. That's gone up a little bit in the last few years. So let's say it's even 30. I mean, 70% of the time you're going to be disappointed.
Sure.
So if you're not out there for the birds, the bees, the wind, the trees, the leaves, you know, you got to be out there for the whole thing, you know, the adventure of it, what's over the next hill. It's going to be a miserable experience for you, you know?
Sure. I think old Zach Griffith said it best, bow hunting sucks.
Yeah. That was real smart of him. And, you know, it's funny, not funny, but you hit the nail on the head when you said that social media has kind of sparked competition. Like, it's even in myself, I noticed a desire more so to have, you know, to show more success, you know? And it's
absolutely.
Like, and you start to lose a little bit of that, you know, enjoying everything for what it is, and not not just for the successes. And I know I've put a lot of pressure on myself in the last few years. And I never used to think that way. And it's been this like last 2 years that I kind of just kind of constantly finding myself putting pressure and forcing things because I want to succeed.
Absolutely. I get caught up in it myself, and I know others do, whether they want to admit it or not. I think it's natural. Yeah. I mean, it naturally comes with the territory with social media and I got to remind myself from time to time just don't worry about that. It kind of puts pressure on you. Exactly. And I think the very nature of social media, we tend to only share our highlighting moments.
Oh yeah.
And when doing so, it makes yourself, or it makes anyone look bigger or better, and it's, mm-hmm. it's something that it just kind of comes with the, so.
Yeah. And I actually tried, of course I don't do it all the time, but I've tried a lot to put everything out there. My misses, and my failures and so on and so forth. And I feel like it helps people in a couple different ways. One, they see that even somebody who does this for a living, still experiences, tag soup, still experiences misses, still experiences blown shot opportunities or stalks or whatever.
Sure.
And it's kind of, it kind of helps them associate themselves with you. It's kind of hard for me to verbalize what I'm trying to get at, but it's basically, if they can see themselves on the same level as somebody who's very successful or somebody who's predominant in the industry, not that I'm like this, superstar hunter, but I think it gives people confidence, and confidence,
sure,
I think, translates to success.
Absolutely.
More times than not.
Absolutely. So. And, and it's a great way to network, the Hunt AZ page, I started that with that goal in mind. I think it's great to network and build resources and stuff like that. And so that's, that's the side of things that I really enjoy about it, social media and all that. And so it has good and bad, with good comes a little bad naturally with most things. And so.
Yeah, for sure. And I think what you do is great. I see you sharing a lot of the youth stuff. I see you sharing a lot of the pictures of guys that are posting their first deer and stuff, and these mm-hmm. 2 points and, younger bucks or whatever, but mm-hmm. they're happy. It's an accomplishment to them, and it's nice to promote and support those guys on those accomplishments. Because there's so many pages out there, so many people out there are like, oh, he's still got milk on his lips. What are you doing killing that or this and that? And all this like hate, hunter on hunter hate stuff. And I it really gets to me. And I try very hard not to engage in that stuff. I try to always kind of promote, unity within the hunting community, because we have so much opposition from the outside the community. We don't need it, to be banging heads inside. So
a lot of truth to that. And I hear you.
Awesome. So you got any, hunts coming up?
This year, I'm kind of kicked back this year. I'll be mainly helping others. I just have my archery deer tag, which is still good fun, but,
For sure.
I've got some friends of mine from Northern California. I don't know if you follow Deer Slam on Instagram. He's coming down. He's got a 36C whitetail tag that we're excited about. They have the third hunt, the early December hunt, And his fiance Jen has a tag, so that'll be fun. We'll have our hands full. It'll be a fun 10-day hunt.
Nice.
And I didn't mention earlier. I'm a coos fanatic.
We
I've kind
know.
of shifted from mule from the muleys to coos. You know, I was able to kill some good muleys on those youth hunts we talked about, and I've been after as I got older, I've been more and more crazy about the coos. So,
Awesome.
good
Well,
stuff.
you got a so you said you got a December. Oh, the early December. So okay, the December 1st to the 10th. Actually, I probably will be down. Oh no, it's not 36. I'll be down at 34.
Oh, okay.
I have a good friend of mine that drew that tag, and I'm gonna try to come help him out the latter part of that hunt. Because I'm going to be helping on a late rifle elk hunt the first few days of that hunt. So that's the same time and it opens
All
December
right.
1st. Yeah, they slid everything over. I don't know why they did that with the elk hunt, but they did that. The late archery and the late rifle hunts have all slid over a week or so.
And you
But
know,
yeah.
if all goes as planned, I have a good friend, Travis. He actually drew a sheep tag.
Oh, beautiful.
So if I can, I'd love to bounce over and help him, or at least head out there and enjoy it with him for a few days if he doesn't kill early. It's kind of, you
Yeah.
know, the scheduling with some of these hunts kind of makes it tough sometimes. So I
Well,
got
you
that on the
knew.
back burner. He drew a Cabeza tag, 46A East, in the
Cool.
Growler Mountains. Should be fun. It's one of the tougher units, access wise, and you know, it's foot or horse only. So that'll be
That's a
fun.
good. It'll be a good hunt, though.
So
Well, good deal. Well, tell listeners where they can find out about your Instagram page and on AZ.
Instagram, it's at hunt underscore AZ. I also have a personal page where I kind of share my stuff, and that is Elwood at Elwood ELLWOOD underscore AZ.
Sweet.
Anyways, we just the last few months we just got some hats going.
I saw those. They look pretty
Yes.
sharp.
We can't thank Sam and Josh at Branded Bills. They're here in Tempe, Arizona. They make a great hat. The leather patch, branded, and they're great hats. So the web link is on the Hunt AZ page there. We got elk and mule deer and coos designs, and we're hopefully gonna release some more designs soon. So
Good deal.
yeah.
Well, awesome, man. I'd like to see how you guys do on those coos deer hunts and hopefully get out with that with your buddy on the sheep. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it should be a good season, and good luck to you too, John.
Thank you.
Be sure to tag. I want to encourage everyone else. Be sure to tag your adventures with the hashtag hunt underscore AZ. We're coming up on, I think it's last time I checked, almost 40,000 posts under that tag. So it's a good way to get your stuff out there and shared with the rest of the community. So
Awesome. Well, thanks for supporting Arizona hunting and doing what you do. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. I'll probably get to have you on and talk about coos deer hunting again.
that'd be great.
We'll do a podcast on, tactics and stuff. Maybe we'll talk about some of those late season hunts with maybe
Sure.
bow hunting and stuff like that. That'd be fun.
Sounds good, John. Well, I appreciate the invite. So
All right. Thanks, Elliot.
take care, John. Thanks.
Have a good one.